This is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs, cassette tapes, and printed copies of the sermon will follow the program. We're happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to join us every week on this station.
This week, your calendar will remind you of your scheduled appointments. Do you anticipate a divine appointment? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father in heaven, we pray that as we live out our lives in relationship with you, that we will see many divine appointments, appointments where you say to us through a nudge, I have something for you to do. I have words for you to speak. I have a witness for you to bring. Lord Jesus, help us in this big assignment, this divine appointment that we get in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends in Christ, there are many committed Christians who have many hours of frustrating times as they try to figure out what witnessing is for them. There is a person who might say, I have tried to tell the story of Jesus Christ again and again. I can point to no one who is a believer in Jesus Christ because of my witness. I can hear a mother say, there is nothing that I would appreciate more rejoice in more if I could only bring my wayward daughter or son to a living faith in Christ Jesus. There's nothing that I want any more than that. I read my Bible, especially those passages that deal with witnessing. I go to church. Our minister is a fine pastor, and he has powerful sermons on witnessing. I listen and get some inspiration, and I try it again. But you know, it just never seems to work out. It doesn't help. I even go to some of these special classes that our congregation has on witnessing, because they want to help us as well, but I don't know why it all is. I guess that is not my calling. And yet we know that the Bible says that when you are a believer in Christ Jesus, you are called to be a witness. Now here's another kind of frustration. Let's take the case of Gene and Bob. Gene is a mature Christian, raised in a Christian home, has always walked with the Lord Jesus, and is a good witness too. Really somebody that you want to go to who understands what Christianity is all about. Bob is not of that background at all. His father and mother were short of being pagans, didn't belong to a church even. But through the careful witness of his wife, Jean, he became a committed believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now it was like he had a new toy to play with. And so whenever he got an opportunity, he really told the people about Christ. There was no question about that. Until finally, some of the people got tired of listening to him. So Gene noticed that there were a lot of parties among their friends to which they never got an invitation. So one day she asked her friends, "Do you know why we're not invited?" And the friend said, "Well, I hate to tell you this, Gene, but your husband, Bob, shuts the guys off. They don't want to come if they have to listen to him preach all the time. And as a result of that, you're just not invited as often." Gene pleads with Bob. But overzealous Bob says, "Whenever we have an opportunity to talk about Jesus Christ, we should give them both barrels. Because that's what it means to take up your cross and follow him. And that's why we are suffering for Christ's sake. And that's why we don't get invited to some of these parties, because they don't want to hear about Jesus." Not the case at all. Not the case at all. Hearing all of this, many Christian people remain silent about their faith for fear that they will be offensive to others. And so their mouths are shut, which is a tragedy, contrary to what God wants. And then there are others who respond in just the opposite way. They're going to be a witness for Christ when the right time comes, but now we're having a good time. And so in their gatherings, they tell a dirty story or two, and the so-called witness can tell his dirty story, can sometimes strengthen his language, he feels strengthened it by using some profanity, or can perhaps even have one too many drinks. Now he is identified with these people, but if they ever want, he will sure tell them about Jesus Christ. And a double life like that is of no value whatsoever. Now, I don't know where you are as I preach this sermon to you, but if you can identify with something that I have said in the opening remarks of this sermon, I believe our text today will be of great help to you. And I take you back to the book of Acts, to the 8th chapter, beginning at the 26th verse. And we're not going to take the time to read it all through verse, word by word. But if you get your Bibles, or if you get them after the sermon, you can remember what we have said and trace it into your own life. Here it is. And now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out. And on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This is an introduction to it. This was perhaps a very interesting scene for him. A man who, in a beautiful wagon, certainly he was some very important individual. And about that time, as he met this man, the Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot, and you just stay near it." So Philip got up and walked beside the chariot. There might have been others walking there too. They were that interested in who this man was. And he saw this man who was reading a book. And the book was a copy of the prophet Isaiah. Probably he bought that book in Jerusalem. He wanted to learn more about the prophet Isaiah and about this coming Christianity, coming of the Messiah. What is this all about? He didn't get the answers there in Jerusalem that he needed. He got some answers. He probably heard somebody say there, well, some of them are saying that he is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. And he wondered. Because if this is anything that this man needed, this Ethiopian eunuch, it was the Savior. And he realized that soon this life would be over, and then what about the next life? So at that time, Philip ran up to the chariot and heard what he was reading, and he said to him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. So now you get the picture of this beautiful chariot on this dusty old road with a man all dressed in official garb, and Philip probably dressed very much the opposite, began to talk to him about the Savior. It says here, then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. Just imagine it. Told him, for example, that you're created in the image of God, Mr. Secretary. But you are a part of the human race, and the human race has sinned and has thrown itself out of a relationship with God. But God loved you so much that he came into this world in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that Savior, that's what they were talking to you about in Jerusalem, and that's what Isaiah was talking about. That Savior suffered and died on a cross as a payment for your sins and mine. And the gospel message is that if you will trust in Jesus, your sins are forgiven and you belong to God forever and ever. And when no longer do you live on this earth, then you will have a home with him. That's what it says, Mr. Secretary. And then I kind of believe that it went along for a while, and they rode and maybe talked about several things. Then the Ethiopian eunuch saw some water, and he shouted out, "Stop." And then he looked at Philip and said, "Look, there's been something going on in my soul all the time. That's why I went up to Jerusalem. I got a partial answer there, but not a whole one. Then I listened to you speak. You made it very, very clear. Intellectually, I got the answer. And as we have ridden along this way, just like something has been working on me, until I believe in this Jesus as my Savior and my Lord. Now, the reason that I have stopped the chariot here is that there's some water over there. What hinders me from being baptized? Anything? Philip said, certainly not. So they both got out of the chariot, and they went down into the water, and that man was baptized. The historian Eusebius has said that that man's name was Indic, and that he went home and was a leader in the church. Now that's the help that I think that many of us need. I know I need it. We need to be told you can't convert anybody. So here is a word on witnessing from the Lord today. The one purpose of this sermon, just share the gospel of Christ and let the Holy Spirit do the rest. We cannot do the converting. God could have been working in the person's life a long time before he ever came in contact with you or me. But now you were given the opportunity to share with him the same message that his mother, a father perhaps, had shared, or many other people. But he wasn't ready. The Holy Spirit could not open that heart at that time, but now he can. But then he is ready, and when he is ready to speak, be available to help the seeking soul and be able to do it clearly so that there is no mistake about what you're saying. And then if the person you are working with lives in close proximity to you, then live a life consistent with your verbal witness. Sure, then you can tell him what Christ has done for you. You need to have a faith story, one that you can tell in 3 minutes, and one that you can take 3 hours to tell, 3 days to tell, because life with Jesus goes on and on and on. Now, I don't know what you got out of the sermon, but where do you find yourself in this text? Could you possibly be Philip? You've lived with the Lord Jesus, and you have tried to witness, but you did it at a time when the person wasn't ready. You'll be able to tell. It won't take very long into the conversation before people will say, can you tell me a little bit more about it? I think it often happens in the times of sickness and death, something that's bothering the person, and he or she knows that the world has no answer for these things. But this gospel, what is it? There is so much confusion about the gospel. There is so much muddy water that tries to answer that question when it isn't biblical at all. Simply point them at that appropriate hour to Jesus and tell them what Jesus did for the world, what he has done for you, and what he can do for the friend with whom you are talking. When do I witness? How do I witness? What kind of a spirit do I have when I witness? Those are very important questions. So somewhere in that text, you're found. Maybe you're a Philip. You're the teacher of the word. In a Sunday school class, or in the pulpit, always telling the story clearly. That's one thing I got out of the sermon today. You're the witness. Maybe you're the usher. The usher who first meets him on Sunday morning and gives him a handshake that's warm and a smile that wins its way into their heart. Maybe you're the musician who's going to sing a solo or sing in the choir, and there'll be that simple message, beautiful Savior, King of creation. Or maybe it will be that great old song, Children of the Heavenly Father. You may be the one that they will come to. I heard you singing that Sunday. What does it mean when it says, though he giveth or he taketh, God his children ne'er forsaketh? Am I not forsaken by God? Oh, my, no, you're not. Then as a musician, tell them the story of Jesus. Maybe you're the fellow worshiper. And a person will say, I think I know you, but I really don't know you well, but I'd like to know you better. We've been at PTA meetings together, and we have been on cruises together. You have something that I don't have. How can I believe it? That's what the Ethiopian eunuch said, unless somebody tells me. And then it wouldn't be, then Philip began to tell the gospel. But then you, Mary, begin to tell the gospel. Then there's a time. Then you will not have frustrations, but you will have excitement for to share the gospel and see the Holy Spirit take your part in it of bringing that first person to the Lord Jesus. That is excitement. So, this is a great lesson on witnessing for me. For as a pastor, I was often way out ahead of the Holy Spirit. And probably you could almost say, well, I can't wait for the Holy Spirit. I got to get it going. I'm powerful. I know this passage. Let me at him. No, that doesn't work. Wait on God and then be there as his real, faithful servant. And that's the story for today on witnessing. Amen. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you that you have called us to be believers. And then you have said that if you confess me as Savior and Lord, then you shall be my witnesses. But God, we confess before you this day that we have our problems with witnessing. And so today we have seen that you have made it clear to us that we need to have a story to tell. A story to tell that people may turn their hearts to the Lord. What you have done for us. But there are other things too. There's a time when we can tell that story. And there's a time when we had better not. May we learn from Philip and that Ethiopian eunuch. And may we not only sing, but, O God, may we really rejoice in this, that we are children of the Heavenly Father, because someone witnessed to us, and the Holy Spirit was right there to take those words and make them living truths with which we live today. Hear our prayer. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
You have been listening to the Christian Crusaders radio and internet ministry. We pray that today's gospel message will provide a foundation of peace and strength for the coming week. If you would like to help us reach thousands of listeners each week with the good news of Jesus Christ, please consider becoming a broadcast sponsor. A gift of $100 or more covers the cost of 1 week's program on the station to which you listen. To find out more about becoming a broadcast sponsor or to make your contribution by credit card or over the phone, you can call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. Gifts in any amount can also be directed to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Or to use the secure, convenient online donation system on our website at christiancrusaders.org. If you have a neighbor or friend who might benefit from our program, we encourage you to share Christian Crusaders with them. By acting as a lighthouse for others, the Holy Spirit can use your words of hope to guide them in their walk with the Lord. To request a CD, cassette tape, or printed copy of today's sermon, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You may also write to us at Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders has been broadcasting biblical truth continuously since 1936.